To be here with you guys tonight. I've been here a couple times in the past, and it's really neat to see how your fellowship, your community is really growing here and how God is at work here. Man, I just love this worship time. I told Tim, I think I'm just going to stay here. It's just a really neat time of entering into the presence of Christ with you guys, and it's really neat. What God's doing here is a really neat thing. I am excited to be here and be here with Tim again, and it's fun to see what God's done through him. And Ruthie is an old friend of mine, and some of you in the crowd I know already, and some of you I don't. So I'm excited to be able to share with you a little bit. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about love. And it was neat. I don't know if the music team planned that or not, but certainly the songs fit a lot what I want to share with you guys tonight about our hearts and God's heart. And I want to talk about love because it's certainly one of the strongest emotions that we feel as human beings. It's in so many movies. You know, how many of you have seen The Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers deal, you know? Okay, lots of people, right? No, somebody stuck their tongue out, yeah. Well, that's how I feel about reading the book. I haven't read the book because I'm just flat too lazy. But I saw the movie, and someone told me that this whole love thing between two of the characters, it isn't even really in the books. They just stuck it in the movie because they know people like to see love stories. We recently saw a movie called, a really inspirational, deep movie. It was called Snow Day. Have you seen that one? It's a great movie. It's not inspirational or deep. It's kind of stupid. But it has a really good point in it about a high school guy who's infatuated with this girl who's really pretty, and he tries through the whole movie to get her to like him. And in the end of the movie, he finds out that the girl that's just his buddy is really the girl he loves, which is really a really cool thing, and it's sort of unusual for Hollywood to take that slant. You know, Valentine's Day is coming up already in the stores. It's everywhere, you know. All the red and pink and purple junk is already out. Just not long after Christmas, they're pumping the Valentine's Day. So love's all around us, and it's something that we need to spend a little time thinking about from time to time. I was just thinking while I was here with you guys, you know, kind of where is this church, Jacob's Well, in its love for God? And I think you're probably in a different place than some other churches that I'm familiar with. So what I'm sharing, I'll probably adapt to you as I go along. But I wanted to share with you some thoughts of little kids. I saw a bunch of little kids doing the Father Abraham thing. I have three kids, a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. And so these are things that resonate with me, and maybe they'll resonate with you about how kids view love. And the first one is, why do people fall in love? This is Mac. He's age 9. He says, no one is sure why it happens, but I heard it has something to do with how you smell. That's why perfume and deodorant are so popular. Okay, here's the role of beauty and handsomeness in love. If you want to be loved by somebody who isn't already in your family, it doesn't hurt to be beautiful. I like that. If it's somebody outside your family, you're going to need some looks to go along with it. It isn't always just how you look. Like, look at me. I'm handsome like anything, and I haven't gotten married to anybody yet. That's Brian, age 7. People always tease me about my hair. Now, I used to at one time actually have long hair. And I always tell people, hey, I don't care. What I needed my hair for, I got done 17 years ago. I've been married 17 years. Okay, surefire ways to get somebody to fall in love with you. Tell them that you own a great big candy store. That was Dale, age 6. Camille, age 9, is a little more sophisticated. She says, shake your hips and hope for the best. Woo-hoo! And lastly, how do you get somebody to stay in love with you for the long haul? This little girl, Christine, age 9, said, beauty is skin deep, but how rich you are can last a long time. Oh boy. Well, you know, Jesus obviously said many things about love. And one day when he had a chance to be questioned by the crowd, some guys came up, some of the religious figures of his day, and they asked him a pretty challenging question, which was, what is the greatest commandment? Now, in Jesus' day, there were about 650 commandments the religious guys like Tim and I had come up with for their people to follow. And it was just too much for folks. And so they asked Jesus, basically, which of 650 rules do you think is the most important one? And this is what Jesus responded to them, saying, flip that next verse up there, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then you know what I love about Jesus? When people popped questions to him, he never let the question form his answer. exactly. Because notice they said, what's the one rule? And he gives them two, right? He goes, and by the way, the second rule is love each other. So he puts love right at the center of the whole deal with God. It's about love. That is the main thing, is a love relationship with the God of the whole universe. And I believe that we get into that through a relationship first with his Son. That it's through a relationship with Jesus that we meet the God of the universe, because in fact, Jesus is the revelation of the God of the whole universe. So the problem with loving God, even as we're standing here singing tonight, which was a really cool time, I think for some folks, at least folks that I spend time with, the concept of loving God is sort of nebulous. I mean, we can see each other. You know, we can see what we're like. You can give somebody a hug, but how do you give God a hug? And how do you develop a relationship with this great big, like one of the old hymns says, the immortal, invisible, God only wise? How do you love him? I mean, he's sort of hard to get your hands around. It's hard to get a glimpse of him. And so the concept of falling in love with God is a tough one. But it's really possible, I believe. And there's an old guy named Bernard of Clairvaux. He lived a long time ago, about 1,000 years ago, in 1090 to 1153. And he wrote about the four degrees of love. He kind of gave a pathway that we can take to get to fall in love with God. In fact, if you want to read his thing, it's called On Loving God. It was a treatise he wrote. And a long time ago, he was one of the bright lights in the Middle Ages. And he really is a cool guy to read. If you want to read it, there's a website. And the treatise on loving God is pretty long. So kind of skip along until you can find the short stuff, which is what I usually read. And the short stuff is these four degrees of love. Bernard of Clairvaux said there were four degrees of love. There was sort of a pathway that we grow through in our relationship with God and in our understanding, really, of love. And the first degree of love is this. He said, I'll love me for my sake. Now, that's kind of Jay's colloquial way of putting his very beautiful language. But the first level of love, Bernard of Clairvaux said, is I'll love me for my sake. Okay, simply it means it's good for me to love me. One of the things I like to do is go to like Borders or Barnes & Noble and see what the guys that out there that are marketing books, what they think we all want to read. You know, I like to see what they think is interesting to us. And a few years ago, the hot topics for sure, far and away, were how to deal with stress, you know, how to be a better you, how to deal with jerky people, all those kind of just a lot of self-help books, you know, how to get ahead, how to be successful. And they would cover the tables at Borders. And this, I went out about 2 weeks ago and was looking at it. And you know what the topics are now? I jotted down, you know, live longer, be healthier, eat better, exercise more. You know, I think it's funny. We kind of moved from bettering yourself to just flat staying alive. Let's just try to stay alive a little longer. Here's a book. Try to stay alive a few more days. Who cares if you're a jerk? Who cares if you're successful? You're alive, aren't you? So that's about where we are. I'll love me for my sake. It's good for me to exercise. It's good for me to eat right. It's good for me to do things that are good for my body. So if I love me, it's good for me. Now, the tragedy and the reality is some people aren't at this level of love yet. There are many people in our culture who live self-destructive lives, who are doing lots of things that are bad for them, who are treating their bodies terrible, who are involved in relationships that are tearing them up. And the sad thing is they're not even to level one yet. And some of you tonight might realize that you're right there. That your first step in really understanding love is to realize that it's good for you to love you. And Bernard of Clairvaux would say that's where the main starting point is. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're here tonight and you're in a messed up place, if you're struggling with an addiction, or if you're in an unhealthy relationship, if you're doing stuff to your body that's tearing you up, then God's just beckoning you, look, love you for your sake. Love you for your own sake. Take care of yourself because you need to. It's good for you. I know it sounds really self-centered, but it's the first step. And it's a good step to take. You will not get to the other steps if you don't get this one done. At least Bernard of Clairvaux thought that. And that's been a lot of my experience too with folks. So the first one is, I'll love me, for my sake. But that's not where it's supposed to end. I mean, a lot of people do end there, and it's tragic. It's tragic to be around those people. Most of the time, they're not too pleasant. So Bernard said there's another level of love. The second degree of love is, I'll love God for my sake. I'll love God for my sake. Now think about it. It's a pretty real deal. Think of the benefits of knowing God. Well, if you know God, if you love God, you get eternal life. That's a pretty good deal. You get purpose. You get meaning for why you're alive. God, I really think God has a plan for every one of you in this crowd, except for maybe Tim. No, I think God has a plan for everybody, you know, in this room. And that's a good deal. And when you step into a love relationship, you get a purpose, a goal for your life. God gives you peace, a kind of settledness in your soul. God gives you this wonderful joy that you can experience. He gives you unconditional love. He helps you meet new people, people that are on the same journey that you're on with Him, that have the same spirit in them that lives inside of you, that you're connected with spiritually. And God gives you a kind of fresh, unconditional love for other folks. He gives you a heart and compassion for people in need. Look at all that stuff you get from loving God. There was a woman that started coming to our church. And our church, our goal is to reach people that are not into church. Our goal is to reach people that don't, that have gotten disconnected from church, disinterested. And that's what we're about. And by God's grace, we reach a lot of those folks. It's really wonderful. And a woman came who just had not really gone to church much at all in her life, just started coming lately, and she told me, you know, it's a weird thing. I've been coming to church, and I've been listening to the talks, and I've been taking it all in. And, you know, I've been actually talking to God more. And she said, you know what? I feel like a nicer person. I mean, she actually has experienced. She goes, I just feel different inside. I just feel nicer than I used to feel. And so that's a benefit of knowing God. That if you have a relationship with God, if you love God, it's good for you. And again, I mean, it sounds sort of self-seeking, and I guess in one way it is. But God wants it that way. God wants us to know that if we love Him, it's good for us. Look at this passage in Hebrews. It says, and without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You see, the guy who wrote Hebrews is saying, look, here's part of the deal. You got to, when you come to God, you got to first believe He's there and that He'll reward you if you seek Him. That's part of the deal. God's great with that. Another place in the Psalms, the psalmist says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He goes, look, when you're kind of like talking to yourself, he's saying, hey, look, don't forget. Like, Jay, don't forget all that God's done for you. And then he lists them. Look at some of these great benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things. Those are the great things that God does for us, some of the great things that God does for us. So Bernard was right. It's good for me to love God. It's good for me to love God. I'll love God for me. Again, when you look at Jesus' life, what do you see there? I love the story where Jesus is walking along the road, and there's a blind guy beside the road, and he says, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Now hold that there for just a second. So get the picture. Jesus is walking along. There's a blind guy. He's probably been blind all his life. He's yelling out, actually, in the story. Jesus stopped, and he goes, hey, well, what do you want me to do for you? And the guy goes, Master, I want to see. And then Jesus goes, no way, you selfish pig. And he walked on to the next town. No, he didn't say that. I'm just kidding. Of course he didn't say that. None of us would expect him to say that. Why? Because we know that God knows that in the growth of love, we love God at first for our sake. And Jesus was okay with meeting that guy at his point of need. He was okay letting the guy step into a love relationship with him based first on his own need. And that's true for most of us. So again, I'd just like you to think about yourself tonight. Where are you? Are you in the place where you're kind of testing out God? And you're trying to say, hey, if I know God, if I love God, is there anything in it for me? I would say, if that's where you are tonight, that's an okay place to be. And I believe God will meet you where you are. That God will meet your needs. That God has great benefits for you and any follower of His Son, Jesus Christ. Great things, eternal life, purpose, joy, peace, love, fellowship. All those things God offers to you. And in your growth, that's a normal step of growth to say, okay, God, I'll love you for me. One time I was I love to share with people about who Jesus is. And sometimes I use those goofy little tracks, you know, those things people hate. And so I was sharing one with this guy. And a track is like a little booklet that sort of, you know, says spiritual stuff. And this one was laying out what it was to be a Christian. And in this booklet, there were two circles on one page. And one circle has like this chair on it and a cross on it. And that's like the, you know, the Christ-centered life. Jesus is on the throne of your life. And the other circle has a chair with a S on it, which means yourself is on the throne. And under the S thing, there's things like, you know, confusion, emptiness, you know, whatever, crankiness, whatever it is under there. And then under the other one with the Jesus on the throne, it said, you know, things like peace and fulfillment, purpose, some of the things I've already talked about. And when I was sharing with him the booklet at the end, I said, well, what do you think of this thing? What really jumped out at you? And he goes, what jumped out at me is this page. And I said, really? Well, what jumped out at you on that page? And he said, I want this life. I want the one that says that there's fulfillment and peace and love. And that guy became a Christian that day. He stepped from level one, I'll love me for me, to level two, I'll love God for me. Now, it can't end there. And unfortunately, a lot of American Christianity ends right here at level two. That's it. That's as far as people get. I'll love God for me. And then when God isn't good to you, guess what happens? You chuck the whole deal. It's over. Well, God didn't answer my prayer. I guess I'm done. Or sometimes tragic, awful things happen. And you go, well, where was God in that? Have any of you seen the movie Signs? Whether you like sci-fi stuff or not, I did like the understory about the pastor who's lost his faith and how he wrestles with that. If you haven't seen it and you don't like sci-fi, see it anyway, because there's a good spiritual sub-theme and a neat end, I think, in how it all works out. But it's very real. I've had those struggles in my life. I'm a pastor. I could relate to the guy. In fact, he's an Anglican, so I could really relate to him. People used to call me Father, too. But it's sort of an alliteration. Father Fowler, it sounded stupid, so we don't do that anymore. So, let's move on to the third love. I'll love God for God's sake. I'll love God for God's sake. So let's scoot up to third degree. This is the place where you have been loving God for your own sake. You've seen the benefits that He's poured out in your life. And you get to the point where you go, you know what? God, You're really good. God, You're worthy of my love, whether You ever give me anything else or do anything for me again. I believe this is one of the biggest transitions in love. And it's something that I sensed in this room tonight. I know some of you have got this already, just by the way you were singing and worshiping. That you've moved from, you're just in it for what God does for you, to the place where you're going, God, You've done enough for me to know You're a good and holy and wonderful God, and You deserve my love. I'm going to love You for Your sake. One of the stories I love most in the Bible that illustrates this is the one up here. It's the little story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The story is that Nebuchadnezzar, the mean old king, has put up this big idol and he's told everybody they need to worship it. And these three guys, they're good Jews, and they say, no way, we're not going to worship that idol. So they're brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, hey, look, you better bow down before this idol. We're going to throw you in this fiery furnace. And so, this is what they say to him. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Continue on there. If we are thrown into the blazing fire, furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and He will rescue us from your hand, O king. Next verse there. But even if He does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. I love that. They're going, look, we think God can deliver us out of this fiery furnace. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your stupid idols. Because they got to the place in their life where they love God for God. Even if He didn't save them, they're willing to love God because God's God. And they'd come to the place where they knew that personally. And of course, Jesus is the greatest example. He went out in His garden. He took His buddies along. He asked them to pray for Him, but they fell asleep. And He cries out to God and He says, Father, if there's any way for these coming events, this cup, to pass away from me. Please, let it pass. But he ends the prayer by going, but not my will, your will be done. And of course, he was crucified. He didn't get his way. Good for us, he didn't get his way. But he was willing to lay it all down and say, look, I love you, God, because you're God. And I'm willing to put out what I want. I'd love for the cup to pass me by somehow, but not what I want, ultimately what you want. Loving God at this degree, loving God for God's sake, means you're at the place where you're willing to love God even if he doesn't deliver you out of all the fiery furnaces. And I've been a Christian now, I say I'm 44, so I've been a Christian a long time, since I was about 17, do the math, whatever that is, long time. And I've had my share of fiery furnaces. And I guarantee you, you're going to have them in life, whether you're a Christian or not. But it's really good if you can get to the place where you know God loves you even in the fire. And if you're at that place where you love him enough that you go, look, even if this doesn't work out, God, I'm still there with you. Because you guys, there's really no place else to turn. You know, all you're left with if you don't choose God is yourself. And frankly, you know, it's not that interesting. At least, I'm not that interesting. So, Bernard said, the third degree of love is all love God for God's sake. And then the last one, the fourth degree of love, he said, is that some people get moments when they experience this. Bernard said he didn't really experience this very much. And he said you get to the place where you can love yourself for God's sake. And what he means by that is that you get to the place where you can go, I love me for God. In other words, I realize that God's created me and all this world and all this universe and all of you, and that we can for moments just enjoy that purely for God's sake. And Bernard said that the problem with this one, level four, is that it quickly reverts to level one. In other words, you kind of start out going, just you have like you're worshiping like tonight, and all of a sudden you're kind of aware of yourself, but you're aware of yourself as God's, like God's artwork. And you go, oh, wow, what a neat thing. I am part of God's created order, and he loves me, and I'm great. I'm good because God's created me. And then you kind of go, yeah, I'm really great. I am really great. I'm great. And then you're back to, I love me for me. You know, I'm just back into level one. Now, Bernard de Clairvaux, who was a very holy guy, said that happened to him. And so he said that we don't really experience level four until we die and go to heaven, when sin is totally eradicated. And sin being that tendency we have to make it all about us. So when we're in heaven, you can just love yourself fully, unselfishly, because of God. And we love each other in the same way in heaven. You see? So Bernard said, because of our basic problem of sin and self-orientation on this planet, we only get glimpses of that, level four. Well, let me put up the four degrees here. Level one, I love me for my sake. Level two, I love God for my sake. Level three, I love God for God's sake. And the last one, I love me for God's sake. Just kind of think where are you tonight on that continuum? Now, like I said, I've been a Christian a long time, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of go all over the place, you know? There's some times when I'm really at level three, and it feels wonderful. And there are times when I've been level two and level one. So just kind of think, where are you tonight? And let me give those of you who are committed followers of Christ a word of insight. Some of our problem in trying to get our friends to become followers of Jesus is that we try to get them to jump from level one to level three. And we give them a hard time about going through level two. Has that ever happened to you? You want your friend to come and just love God because God's God. And they're kind of like, what's in it for me? You're going, oh, what's wrong with you? Love him because he's God. And they're going, what's in it for me? Well, let your friends do that, because you probably did too. And like I said, most of us were probably fluctuating back and forth through those degrees of love. So when you're thinking about reaching your friend, go ahead and tell them the great benefits of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let them see the benefits it's given you. Talk about those things so that they can try it out and experience it themselves. Then they'll be able to grow on to the third degree of love and really love God for God. I wanted to wrap up with a song from that band Lifehouse. And that it was the most played song of the year 2001. Tim said he's referenced it before, but it's Hanging by a Moment. It's really good. And some people didn't know these guys were Christians, and I wasn't sure either, and I found an interview with them, and this is what Jason Wade, the singer, said is about the song. They said, well, what's the song about? And he said, you know, it's kind of funny. Most people think it's about a girl. But actually, he said, it's a song about spiritual searching and my pursuit to get close to God. So let's just kind of enjoy this song together, and then I'll wrap up with a prayer.
Desperate for changing, starving for truth. I'm closer to where I started. I'm chasing after you. I'm falling even more in love with you. Letting go of all I've held on to. I'm standing here until you make me.
Father, thanks for the moment we're having with you tonight. God, thank you that you know every heart in this room and you know where everybody is with you. And God, wherever we are, we pray that you would help us to fall more and more in love with you. That you would draw us there. And that we would find you real. And we would find you worthy. And we would find you lovely. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.